I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Mike Lynch.
What's going on? This is Rashad.
This is the Sports Sunday Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. It is now brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Centers.
Doing the right thing since 1952.
Kick the tires and light the fires, Big Daddy.
The matchups, the superstars, the games.
Starting defense, place at the table.
Woo! This is Football Sunday on The Fan, a comprehensive look at today's National Football League action with your hosts Mike Lynch and Rashad Taylor.
You all know what you have to do. Remember, no one, and I mean no one, comes into our house and pushes us around.
This is Football Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Sunday morning to you. Mike, Rashad, Jesse with you until 11 o'clock, talking lots of foosball today. By foosball, I don't mean the table. I mean actual football.
Which is also a great game, but...
I'm really bad at foosball. I feel like it's really hard to control the little spinny men.
Well, you know, you and I have huge hands, you know, and I think that's not really a... like a huge advantage for us in
right, because you got to be quick about moving.
Yeah,
between
you know,
the tiny
and you know, when
handles.
You got big hands, sometimes they get stuck on some of the other handles and stuff. So, yeah, that's a tiny hand person game.
I feel very stupid when I play that game. Like I'm fairly good at. Well, I would say I'm above average at games. Right, I've been playing games my whole life. That includes video games and other things. I feel like I'm kind of athletic a little bit, and. I just, whenever I'm playing that, I'm like, I can't hit the ball. I can't spin it the right way. I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah, I'm all spinners
How
in that game.
How am I so stupid at this?
Yeah, I'm all spinners at that game. That's what I do. That's, you know, one way to really put it. Really strong, really strong shots at the goal. Like, that's how I play foosball. So
the ball comes flying out of the table.
All like, the time. You got to go, somebody's got to go chase it. It's bouncing through the community center. Yeah, that's typically me.
I got the passing down.
You look like a foosball
from the corner.
Player.
Like, I got it down, bro. Used to school them tournaments.
I think Jesse is really good at all the alternative things.
Absolutely.
That not a lot of people play.
Right.
Like, he was a water polo player. That's pretty rare. He still does
beach
some of the
volleyball,
water polo stuff,
volleyball.
Yeah.
That's stuff that not a lot of people do, but he seems good at all of it. And he's very athletic too, just at those very alternative
and
things.
Here's the thing, right. Like here's the thing people won't know because it's radio, you know. You don't really see us like that, but Jesse is actually, Jesse's what, 6? You're 6'1", 6'2"?
6'2".
You know,
he's
6'2". We're easily the tallest, I don't know, prime time's pretty tall.
I mean,
too.
We definitely have a 3-on-3 basketball team going on.
Oh,
I
think that would easily be a wrap. Dusty couldn't guard either one of us. Cam, I think, could get buckets. I think Cam would get really angry at a point and start throwing bows.
Yeah, probably. I'd be the one playing defense on him because I'm the biggest and I'm.
Spray can shoot.
I would
shoot.
Just like hack him.
Yeah, Spray can shoot, but he. Yeah, exactly. That's all we're going to use you for, bro.
Dude, Spray couldn't get past my defense.
Spray can shoot though. So that's one thing.
I got energy for days. It would just stifle him.
Yeah, but I don't know, man. So I think we would knock anybody down. But Jesse
can shoot, but I can play D.
But
and
Jesse,
I can rebound.
Jesse actually is like a crazy physique though. It's weird, man. Like, you wouldn't know because he's in sweatshirts and everything all the time, but I mean, he plays water polo and beach volleyball. Like, that should let you know about the body type that, you know, that this dude has. So
lots of abs
and a brand new haircut.
Yeah, well, I was trying to really kind of,
well, there's the segue right there.
I was trying to lean into it and say, speaking of Jesse, we got all this sports coming up. But there's one of the most important breaking pieces of news that we've had on this program in the entire existence of this program.
Well, that does sound better.
It was there. It was ready. I was going to slide.
How about
it in.
We, you know.
You thought I was going to forget. I wasn't.
Press the dump button, Jesse, for that whole, like, 20 seconds and let Lynch do that.
we came in this morning. Actually, I came in and I had a fantasy question for Jesse. He's one of the sounding boards that I like to use for some fantasy football questions.
Appreciate that.
And he's in there with his hoodie on, and, you know, we were talking about it, and I have to come let Rashad in because his key fob is broken and he never gets it fixed because, well, that's what Rashad does. And it's been years.
It's been a while now.
And he's just like, I'm never going to get into this building.
It's bonding with us, so it's okay.
we come back into the studio and we're talking to each other, Rashad and I, and I look through the glass and Rashad looks through the glass and goes, "What?" And Jesse had taken his hoodie off and he has a haircut. Now that doesn't sound very exciting on the top of it, but Jesse has, in the entire existence of this program, he's had long hair. He's had like the classic rock long hair do, and he usually puts it up in a ponytail, and he's got a lot of hair going on. And he takes his hoodie off, and it doesn't look like Jesse anymore, as he's cut all of the long hair off.
It's gone.
You now have a very, very average person haircut.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm back to looking like a member of a boy band, I guess.
It works, man.
Yeah, yeah, no, that, I mean.
You went from being a member of a glam metal band to a member of a boy band.
Yeah, 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 no. So, well, in between, there was a little bit of a transition, too. I definitely had butt rocker country mullet guy going on because did go down to a mullet for Halloween. So you didn't see that last week because I was hiding the fact that there was literally just a little bit dangling off in the back.
You really were going to. Wow.
You let us miss the mullet?
You let us miss
the
mullet?
Yeah, you missed the mullet. I didn't want... No, that... Yeah, yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah, you missed
it. Think about the content.
Seriously. That's a man, best mullets in sports. Like, we could have did so many things.
We are a content generation machine here at The Fan, and that is content right there.
Yeah, no, it was definitely... I mean, I can show you guys a photo or two. It was definitely...
A photo is not the same as seeing it in real life and touching it with your hands.
It was a glorious mullet. Like, I didn't just... You know, like, hey, Marie, like cut it. I went in, I spent the money to make sure I had a legit mullet put on this head. It was rocking.
So you went to the shop to get it done. So how does that work? So sit in the chair and be like, give me a mullet.
Oh yeah. No, it was like, she's the lady that cut my hair was like, normally I joke with people that come in and cut their long hair about taking it down to a mullet, but you just told me to do it. She's like, I don't know what to do. She's like, nobody tells me to do this. And I'm like, do it. Do it. She's like, are you sure? Are you getting everything right? Are you sure? Are you positive?
That's awesome.
Do it. Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun.
We got this text. I'm not sure if it's a family member of yours, Jesse. It says he had a very WWE look going. He was the heel. Now he's a baby face.
That's what you're going for. You know,
I'm gonna assume that is someone who has seen both sides of you already.
It's possible Marie's out there listening right now.
It's possible. I like the new look. It looks like a completely different person, which is not a bad thing. It's just it's different, and it was shocking at first. But I can get used to this.
So I've been.
Are you gonna grow it out again? Or are you like settled on this for a while now?
I don't know. Honestly, the long hair originally came from me just being too lazy to go get a haircut every couple months. But then Marie fell in love with the long hair, and so it stayed for Marie.
It's like Fabio. You know what I'm saying? It's like
it was some, like, a little Italian intense, dude. You guys never saw it at the height of its career. Like, the height of its career was so long, it literally tried strangling in my sleep like multiple times. Yeah, so
Jesse
had
like
cut,
Trevor
so.
Lawrence wishes he had Jesse's hair. You know, that's what it was.
Cutting at your hair head.
Yeah, no, I definitely had the Fabio locks going on.
So you've inspired me, man, because I've been wanting to cut my hair for really like the last like 6-7 months. So this is coming off.
I mean, your hair's not really that long.
Oh, it's super long. You can't tell because it's kind of matted down because I do a lot of what we call sponging for, you know, everyone else that doesn't know, which is to make sure that my hair can kind of stay twisted at a point, you know what I'm saying? But if I start pulling it out, it's, you know, super long. So it's just one of those things. So if I were actually like to pick it out, or more than that, blow it out, which is blow dry it with the comb on the end, then my hair is super, super long.
I want to see you shake it and then blow it out.
Sunday before you cut it and just have it be blown out.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to do a very kind of, you know, was going to maybe fry dye it and lay it to the side one time just before I cut it. Just do something really stupid and random.
Do it.
Just before I cut it off. Much like the mullet before my guy Jesse.
Yeah, no, I was totally trying to play. I was playing with Marie quite a bit with the mullet. I was like, hey, so should I just frost the tips on the top, maybe frost the ends of the mullet a little bit and just really... And
you didn't go mullet and just stash, did you?
No, I couldn't do that. Couldn't do the mullet and stash.
That would have been the game changer.
Oh, it would have been so bad because my stash, you guys know my stash. It's not the thickest of stashes. It's kind of the Adam Morrison looking stash if I
creepy.
Let it go.
Yeah.
I gotta keep it tight for it to look decent.
Yeah, you could grow really long hair, but your facial hair doesn't grow exactly the same.
No, no. Hence spotty the baby face. Yeah.
All right. Well, Rashad, unlike Jesse, if you do that, do not hide it from us on a Sunday.
I will not.
You better make sure we see that in its full glory.
Everyone will see it.
We got a lot of football coming up on the show today. We will start next segment talking some college football playoffs, which are we got the first rankings of this week, and things changed instantly this weekend, and it was good for Oregon as well, in my opinion. So we'll get to that coming up next. We have our fantasy scramble coming up at 9:30, where we'll answer as many start sick questions as you guys have. We're also going to give you, for the first time, some against the spread picks that we like. The two I'm going to give you, I actually put some money on, so you can trust that I at least am putting my money where my mouth is on that. And I think Jesse and Rashad are just going to play along for fun. But we're going to do that at 9:45. 10 o'clock hour, we got a lot of NFL for you, which includes the Thursday night game that already has gone final, Raiders-Chargers. That's going to be our West Coast bias, as the Raiders are now somehow in a playoff hunt all of a sudden. And then the Monday night game is the game of the week between the Seahawks and the Niners. So we'll get to that at 10 o'clock as well before Hate It or Love It. That's all coming up. Text in the Better You Today text line at 55305. And you can find us on social media. I'm at Mike Lynch 27 on Twitter. Rashad's at TaylorMade503. Jesse's at Jesse Osman, A-S-Z-M-A-N. But we will start in college as we always do. Ducks were off. The Beavs lost on Friday to Washington. But I want to focus more on the college football playoff picture. Bama losing, Penn State losing. Good for Oregon. That's next here on The Fan.
Weekends were made for sports. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back into Football Sunday, a.k.a. Mullet Sunday today. Jesse Osman on Twitter, at Jesse Osman, A-S-Z-M-A-N, just tweeted out a picture of his mullet from the weekend, and it is glorious. I'm telling you, man, the mullet fits your head perfectly. Your head shape and the mullet, It's like a match made in heaven.
It literally, I honestly think I pull it off pretty well. Not bad.
Yeah. I'm very happy. I'm very sad you did not show it to us live last week now, but I'll take a picture. That's okay. You guys can find that on Twitter if you're interested in seeing Jesse's mullet, at Jesse Osman, A-S-Z-M-A-N. College, you have any thoughts, Rashad? You just kind of...
On college?
No, on
I'm Jesse's, trying to find it right now. Mullet. Here we go. And oh gee, that's awesome.
You're just like silent over there. I'm like,
oh, that's
Rashad
awesome.
Doesn't care.
I'm no, yeah, I'm actually trying to find the actual mullet, and here it is, man. This is, yeah, you should. I wish you could have kept the stash though, just the stash. That would have just that would have been the cherry on top,
right?
You know,
right? I thought the little chin beard thing I had going on kind of made it look a little hard.
Oh,
you
it
know?
Works.
Yeah,
Kmart red light special, bro.
Right?
It works.
Yeah, for sure.
I love it.
College football playoff rankings came out this past, Tuesday between the college basketball opening games. And we saw Ohio State, LSU, Alabama, and Penn State as the four teams that would be in. Clemson was on the outside looking in at 9-0. Georgia was 6. And then Oregon and Utah were at 7-8, just ahead of Oklahoma in the one loss team category. The two other undefeateds, Baylor was at 12-8-0. Minnesota was at 17 at 8-0. Now, Minnesota had played literally nobody, so the ranking, although maybe a little bit low, made sense. And Baylor also had not played a lot of teams. This week, things are going to be a-changing, and I think it's very good news for the Oregon Ducks. The first thing was the game of the week yesterday was LSU-Bama.
Hell of a game, too.
It was a great game.
Absolutely.
And Alabama losing to LSU, 46-41, the final score. Joe Burrow, by the way, I think sealed the Heisman for himself with that one performance. He was damn near perfect. He went 31 of 39 for 393 yards, 3 touchdowns, also had 14 rushes for 64 yards. Alabama could do absolutely nothing to stop the LSU offense, which is something I never thought I would ever say in my life, because I'm remembering the 9-6 games of 5-6 years ago between these two teams.
The national championship, was it?
You know, that was, I think,
Was that LSU?
That was LSU Bama, but that was the year that the regular season game was 9-6. I think Bama won like 21-0.
And the national championship was like 14-12 or something.
I think it was 21-0. I don't think LSU scored.
Oh, it was, yeah, it was a lot of defense played. It was something really silly to watch.
Well, yesterday we saw a lot of offense played instead. And Nick Saban came out after the game and said that they have no weaknesses. LSU's offense has no weaknesses. There's nothing you can do to stop them. And what's crazy about it is, so that's LSU's most impressive win of the year, obviously. You're playing the number three team. You're playing the juggernaut that is Bama, the team in the SEC that has beaten everybody every year, no matter what. But they've also shown this offense has success against other high-rated teams with solid defenses. They beat Texas 45-38 earlier when they were ranked in the top 10. They beat Florida 42-28 when they were ranked in the top 10. They beat Auburn last week when they were ranked in the top 10, although that was a lower-scoring game. And now they've got Ole Miss, Arkansas, they just fired their coach, and Texas A&M for the last three games. LSU's schedule is easing up. I don't see how they lose a game unless it's just a complete clunker. I mean, that was Joe Burrow winning the Heisman. That was a huge statement for Ed Orgeron and what he's done offensively there for that team and just the style. And by the way, his clip, if it's circulating on Twitter, where he said, "Roll Tide, what? Bleep you," in a post game, like, not a press conference, but when he was talking to the team.
I love Ed O.
It was really good.
I love him.
Really, really good. LSU really, really looks like they're going to finish the year undefeated and be one of the college football playoff teams.
Oh, no. LSU is they, somebody said this, and I absolutely agree. Like, when they run on the field, they look like a football team. That's what, like, every time I see LSU play, I say that's what football is supposed to look like. From the jerseys to the crowd to the way they play and the aggressiveness. Like, LSU is, they've got it for whatever reason, man. So, Joe Burrow, again, you mentioned his game yesterday. Flawless for the most part. You know, you miss on eight passes, but you connect as many times with all, you made sure everybody on your team felt the love a little bit for you. And, man, if you can do Alabama like that, and mind you, this is kind of what we saw from Clemson. Clemson's really the only other team we've seen like take Alabama drive for drive. Come out, you score, man, we score right back. Big play on your end, big play on our end. A fantastic highlight play on our part, then we come back with another one until it's all the way down to the end. Like, outside of that, like, this is the best game I've seen. Nick Saban's really been challenged, you know, and now you look around at college football, you look at some of these coaches that aren't intimidated anymore by the Nick Saban aura. You know, you look at Dabo Swinney, who's beaten twice. Like, I'm not afraid of you anymore. Now you look at what they're doing in LSU, like, nobody's afraid of Alabama anymore, which, not to say that Alabama is terrible, because Tua was still brilliant in yesterday's game.
He was brilliant, but his two turnovers likely is what cost them the game. He had a fumble on the first drive, also had an interception. I think it was, what, in the second quarter, third quarter? I can't remember exactly when it was, but if he didn't have those two turnovers, what's different about this? We don't know. Maybe they still lose the game. You can't do the ifs and buts game after a game. It's final. LSU won. But I was wildly impressed by the Tigers in that game yesterday. But this is huge, I think, for Oregon, because now Alabama has one loss, and it's looking like they're not going to make the SEC title game to be the quote unquote conference champion, unless LSU stumbles as they keep playing along in their last three games. You're already seeing the spin zone work, and I've seen it on social media. I saw it on the broadcast. I forget which broadcast it was yesterday, but I think it was the actual game broadcast at the very end of the game. Alabama was for sure going to lose after LSU got a first down, and they put up how Alabama still makes the college football playoff with one loss, and it like went step by step on what needed to happen. What needed to happen was a lot. You need Oregon or Utah to be a two-loss team and win the Pac-12. You need the Big Ten champ to have two losses. You need the Big 12 to – you need Oklahoma to have one loss but keep playing their kind of crappy schedule that they have. And you need LSU to win out. All of that just for Alabama to make the playoffs. The spin zone was working, but that's a good sign for Oregon that all those things need to happen for Alabama now to make the playoff after losing to LSU. Although it's a great loss, they're not going to be in the SEC championship game. The other game that happened – yesterday that was great for Oregon was Penn State lost to Minnesota. Minnesota undefeated. Well, that may be as bad if they start climbing the rankings really high because they beat a team like Penn State. But at the moment, it's good for Oregon because Penn State was number four. They were undefeated. And the Golden Gophers at home, I was shocked by this result, to be honest with you. They came out and actually just controlled the tempo of the game. Penn State had a little bit of a push at the end where it felt like they were going to be able to come back and steal the game for Minnesota. Minnesota held them off. What was it, with that pick in the end zone on the final play, basically, of the game? So that was huge. That was a great game, first of all. But Penn State losing is huge for Oregon. Oregon on a bye is sitting there going, oh, thanks, LSU. Thanks, Minnesota. We're going to climb up the rankings next week. And it now puts Oregon back in the driver's seat, I think, back in full control of their playoff destiny. If they win out, they should make the playoff.
I mean, they should. You know, that's what, you know, conventional, you know, wisdom would tell you is that, yes, Oregon lost one game, so they should. Now, I think what they're going to start going to is strength of schedule and who you played and, you know, who you didn't play and who you lost to. And the Auburn loss hurts, you know, because that's a win that Oregon should be undefeated right now. That's, if you're asking me, I think they got we all know they got really safe in the second half and decided they didn't want to throw the ball any further than 2 yards down the field. And because of that, Auburn came back and made it a game and then won the game. So Oregon should be undefeated. But the fact that they're not and they have this one loss, but then you're looking at a Penn State team with one loss to at least the 17th ranked opponent who is undefeated as well, you know, at that point. I think some people might start looking at that, especially considering the Ducks play at 7 o'clock and on the East Coast, that's 10 o'clock. Were you ever, let me ask you this.
No.
There you go.
I know the answer. I never would have watched West Coast college football when I was living out there.
There you go. Ever. And so, and most of the people that vote, they're out there. And so, not to say that they don't stay up to watch those games, but if it's,
or at least DVR them to watch in the morning,
you know, or at least DVR them to watch in the morning. But even still, I think you can get enough from highlights and enough from stat sheets and reading the play by play to understand like what a team was able to do or how they were able, you know, so they can make their vote based on that. So I do think there might be a way to kind of keep Oregon out, but all they can do is win at this point. They have to win the rest of their schedule. And what we typically seen from some teams is they stub their toe on that team that's not supposed to matter. You know, you're supposed to go into Oregon State and Corvallis and completely run over them. And then, oh, what do you know? They punch you in the mouth.
That would be Arizona this coming week.
And there you go. You know, and that's what you don't want if you're Oregon, is to live so much in this ranking. The fact that now you've moved up and you're number 5 and one more win and we do this. And then all of a sudden this team, you know, back kicks you in the face and you're back to square one and you're trying to fight for the Red Box Bowl or whatever.
Yeah. Well, that's why I say they control their own destiny. They can't lose. If they lose, they're done. I mean, that's basically it. They can't, especially with the schedule they have remaining, which is not super difficult, at least until the Pac-12 championship game. They can't lose. If they lose, they're done. But they have control of their own destiny by winning these games. This text just came in on the Better You Today text line, 55305. Everybody seems to have forgotten Oklahoma in regards to the playoffs. But if you look at the remaining schedule, they should easily jump Oregon if they win out. Yes, Oklahoma does have some tough games on the coming schedule. I'm just going to pull it up here because I remember looking at it but not remembering exactly who they have left. Oklahoma, by the way, almost blew the game to Iowa State yesterday. So 42-41 the final. Yeah, they play Baylor next week at Baylor, who won and is undefeated, then TCU, and then Oklahoma State, who is ranked at the moment at least. So they've got some games left that could help push them up. The only difference with Oklahoma and Oregon right now is the quality of the loss. And that is losing to Kansas State in Manhattan when you hadn't lost there in, what was it, 25 years,
something
if you were
stupid.
Oklahoma, is a way worse loss than Oregon losing to Auburn in the week one game in Dallas when Oregon had injury issues at wide receiver. They were playing with almost no wide receivers in that game, if you remember. And the committee takes into account the injuries. So if they both win out, I think Oregon still will be ahead of Oklahoma. And you saw the committee kind of set that in stone by ranking Oregon 2 spots ahead of Oklahoma in the opening college football playoff ranking. Is Oregon beating Utah, assuming Utah still in the top 10 at that point, will be a better win than Oklahoma's wins moving forward, in my opinion. And their loss was better than Oklahoma's loss. So if that's the case, I think the Ducks would still be ahead of them. But it is a good argument because Oklahoma has some good matchups left.
No, yeah. And the matchup this week at Baylor, that's going to be the one that says if Oklahoma is probably going to the playoff, like it wouldn't shock me. Baylor is a top 15 team. And I think a lot of times we kind of poo-poo, as you guys like to say, anything past top 10. You know, like if you're not within the top 10, well, you're a good team. But if you play the 15th ranked team, the 12th ranked team, the 20 something, that means of 125 Division I football teams, they are 22.
There's
you know?
More now. That'd be yeah, 130.
Yeah, I think it might be more than that at this point. So 130 some odd teams, you're 22. You're 12. That's not something to overlook. And we know that Baylor knows how to score points, and so we'll see what happens. But, yes, Oklahoma is one of those teams that's right in the mix as well, and they can score points like nobody's business.
We got to take a break here. Text in your fantasy football start sick questions to the Better You Today text line at 55305. Already got a couple of them coming in. We'll get to as many as we can next, and we're also going to start at 945, giving you some against the spread suggestions as well. For the games coming up in just about a half hour. So get those questions in. Thank you guys, by the way, for the text during that segment. We got a lot of good interaction there. Appreciate it. Again, Better You Today, text line 55305. Next, Fantasy Scramble. First, Jesse Sports.
This is what you get when you wait until the last minute.
It's your pick.
Fine, whatever. Blah, 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 blah. This guy.
A kicker.
I like kickers.
Listen up, you fantasy coaches. Mike and Rashad are here to save your butt with some last-minute injury news and roster advice.
The only reason my team finished as terrible as it is because everybody on the team was hurt. Literally every single player on my team was hurt.
This is Fantasy Scramble, part of Football Sunday on 1080 The Fan.
9:33 here on your Sunday morning. Mike, Rashad, Jesse with you. What it's old is new again. All your players are hurt.
Everybody on your team's hurt again.
Oh, my gosh, bro. It's like Groundhog Day. Like, Punxsutawney Phil is around here somewhere, man. It's the weirdest thing. I'm on fourth and fifth string guys. And, guys, I don't know if they're in the league anymore. But I'm pretty sure they're going to start for me today.
He's, like, got somebody playing for the – was it the Winnipeg whatevers?
Yeah.
You know?
Some XFL
team. Winnipeg Blue Bombers.
Man. So we'll see how it works.
I didn't know you were allowed to have Canadian Football League teams in or players in your fantasy league. That's interesting.
Man. Hey, man.
That'd be so cool.
I'm going for W's, man.
So text in your fantasy football start sick questions that you have or trade questions to the Better You Today text line at 55305, and we'll get to as many as we can here. We're also going to start next segment giving you some NFL picks against the spread. So that will be coming up next. First question we got. Non-PPR, need one for flex. Damian Williams, Latavius Murray, Allen Robinson, Austin Hooper. Well, LeSean McCoy is out, inactive for the game today. So Damian Williams will be the clear number one. And last week against a good rush defense, he actually played quite well in that game. But Patrick Mahomes coming back is going to take some of the value away from the running game in general because they will likely throw the ball more. Tennessee does have a fairly good defense. The only other option out of this that I like is Latavius Murray because they said they're going to give him some more run because he played so well in the last 2 weeks, even though Kamara's back. But I'm going to go Williams because he's going to get the number one workload, even though it's a non-PPR, and I like just the stable floor with that.
I think I have to take Damian Williams as well, especially in your flex position. I've never really been in love with, you know, Austin Hooper. I like him, but he's, you know,
touchdown machine this year.
He this year he's been, but I don't know, for whatever reason, like he's just not one of those guys who's been as consistent for me. So I'm probably going to go Damian Williams as well.
I just don't really want to play really anything going against New Orleans this year. That defense has been really good, especially against a passing game and the running. They've just been good this year against fantasy receivers, running backs, tight ends. They've been hard to go. So I'm going to throw Hooper out of there. I was telling Mike, I think there's still standalone value for Latavius Murray. They came out and said they liked what they saw with from him the 2 weeks he got to be the bell cow. And Kamara's okay losing a few touches to him. And keyword being there, a few. And so this is where I'm going to go. I think you have a more stable floor with Latavius Murray because I think you have a guy who is running the ball well and he's going to get opportunities. And I think he's going to get opportunities inside that red zone, green zone area inside the 5-10 yard line. Where Damian Williams, I'm worried because he's still, despite that 91 yard touchdown, like that's like almost a third of his entire rushing this season because he was outside of that, it's been rushing about 2 yards or less a carry. He hasn't been good. And I also worry about Daryl Williams taking some touches away from him at the goal line. But I think because you have Mahomes coming back and he's so involved in the passing game, I think he has higher upside. So once again, this is going back to my classic. If you want a guy with higher upside, I think you have Williams. If you want a guy I think is a little safer, stable floor, Latavius Murray.
You guys have been money with all of your suggestions. Awesome. Thank you. This week at the flex, half point PPR, Christian Kirk or Golden Tate. Well, Kirk last week was a massive disappointment. I think he only had like one catch in their game.
Tough matchup
on Thursday Night Football against the Niners, who, yes, you're right, a very tough matchup. which is going to be coming into play in the next question that we have that came in on the text line. Kirk is playing Tampa Bay this week, who is a sieve on defense and gives up a ton of yards to receivers. And when they last played a good defense, though, after before San Francisco against the Saints, he had 79 yards and on 8 catches. So Christian Kirk had a good game there. The other guy he asked was Golden Tate, who is now on the Giants, if you forgot that. Remember, he was suspended for 4 games to start the year. They're playing the Jets. He had himself a really, really good game when he first came back against the Patriots. He's been consistent. He's been pretty safe. He's getting about 6 catches a game. That's really, really good in a half-point PPR. But I think I'm going with the explosive guy in Kirk on this one against the Tampa Bay Bucks defense.
I think I'm going to go with Christian Kirk as well. You know, somebody that can take off the top of a defense, you know, at any point. So he'd probably be my play. I like Golden Tate, but Golden Tate is, you know what you're going to get with him. It's going to be solid. I don't think you can go wrong either way. You can, but I think I'd probably go with Christian Kirk.
I'm thinking Kirk as well. I like the way that Arizona is operating their offense more right now. You know, they want Kirk to be their number one. They kind of want Larry Fitzgerald to be more their number two. And the play in Tampa Bay this week, and they are going to have to throw the ball in order to keep up with that. The one thing that Tampa does well is they score a lot of points, and the one thing that their defense does well is give up a lot of air yards. So I think I want to get in on that going against that Tampa D.
Next question: should I start Damian Williams over DK Metcalf? The answer:
a lot of Damian Williams questions today.
Yeah, well, right. Shady McCoy's out, and I think Chiefs running backs have been a little bit of an enigma this year. They're good and they're in a good offense, but it's hard to trust one. Yes, the answer is yes on this one. And the reason is because DK Metcalf is playing the Niners defense, which has been quite good against wide receivers. Plus, Josh Gordon likely to get some snaps, which will take some of the value away from Metcalf, at least initially, until we find out whether or not Gordon will work in that offense. And still, Tyler Lockett is the clear number one in that offense with Russell Wilson. He's just been absolutely insane, the two of them together. We'll get to that more in the 10 o'clock hour. But I am personally benching DK Metcalf, despite the fact the guy I'm playing has Russell Wilson, because I'm going to start Latavius Murray as well as Zach Pascal against the Dolphins defense. So Damian Williams is going to be the clear number one today. Yeah, I'd start him over DK Metcalf.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, that San Francisco defense is just too nasty. And, you know, Richard Sherman does really well against bigger receivers. You know, that's just kind of, he likes the physicality. He likes to be able to get in there and mix it up. So I don't think that would be the great game for the rookie. So I would go Damian Williams for that one.
So my this is kind of my breakdown from a couple weeks ago. I had a friend that asked me a question. He's like, hey, should I play Sutt or should I play Metcalf? And I was basically like, hey, you're looking at a guy who in DK only gets about 4 looks a game. Now, last week was a little different. You're going against Tampa Bay, which, like we just talked about in that last question, they're a sieve. They give up lots of plays, and you got to throw a lot to keep up with them. But basically, I was like, the floor here is you get DK could catch 2 touchdowns, random touchdowns, but he could catch you like 3 or 4 balls. Well, that was the same week he caught 3 balls for 17 yards and 2 touchdowns. So basically, you got the best of both worlds. You get his high and you get his low. And that's the problem with this guy. If you play him against the 49ers, it's quite possible you get 2 or 3 catches for literally like 12 yards, and that's it. So I think I'm going to steer away from Metcalf this week.
This question's a tough one. Kareem Hunt or Kenyon Drake in a PPR? Kareem Hunt no longer suspended. He's back for the Browns. We are very unsure what his role is going to be. David Johnson, healthy, back for the Cardinals. Chase Edmonds is out. This one's tough. PPR, neither are really great PPR guys, in my opinion, but I'm going to go with Drake on this one just because that is a known commodity at this point. I know David Johnson will be back. I know Tampa Bay's run defense is really good, actually, so it's going to be a tough, tough running for the Cardinals running backs. But David Johnson has no injury designation. He's not hurt at all. So he's going to be back and getting the number one touches. But I don't know Kareem Hunt. I don't know what he's going to do behind Nick Chubb. Backups behind Nick Chubb tend to suck. So I'm not 100% sure how that's going to work. Just purely based on uncertainty and the safety of using a guy who I've seen in the uniform. Kenyon Drake played great for the Cardinals last week. I'm going to go Kenyon Drake.
Well, Kareem Hunt ain't no backup. And that's so he's going to be for a minute until he figures out, you know, until the team figures out exactly what they have there.
But he's going to start. He's going to be the guy.
Well, he's not going to start over Nick Chubb.
Not me. Well, just,
he's not going to start over Nick Chubb. Okay, Chubb is really good.
Nick Chubb is really good, man. What's their record? You're not going to bench your quarterback at this point. I mean, not Freddie Kitchens. Either way, that's a whole different. We can talk about Cleveland literally for an hour, but we won't do that. Man, David Johnson is playing against this Tampa Bay defense. I'm going David Johnson all day.
Well, it's Kenyon Drake is the other option.
Oh, Kenyon Drake.
He's
I'm so sorry.
He's the backup to David Johnson.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I still like Kenyon Drake just because with David Johnson coming back, I still think he's going to get a lot of carries today. He's going to get a lot of touches, maybe some goal line stuff. So, I will go with Kenyon Drake today.
I mean, obviously, I don't like either one of these as well. You're talking about
this is a really tough situation.
Just kind of a Hail Mary, but you have to go with the more known commodity, the guy. The problem with having a guy come out off of a suspension who wasn't able to practice with this team for how many weeks? Like you have to think about the fact that he's probably not in game shape. He could come out and he could pull a hamstring on the very first play because he's not used to using bursts of speed like that because he hasn't been in the league for a year and a half. We're talking about the known commodity today, and I believe that you're still going to end up probably about the same amount of touches. I'm thinking they're probably going to get Hunt probably 6 to 8 touches today, and I think you'll probably get about 6 to 8 touches for Drake. The thing is Drake, probably going to get him in the passing game. He does well in the passing game, and they're really creative in Arizona with that offense. Where in Cleveland, what have we been hearing about Freddie Kitchens every week? He's being outcoached. So I think I'll go with the guy who's the surprise of the coaching ranks this year and go with Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive mind with that one.
All right, let's go a little rapid fire here for a minute. Calvin Ridley or Allen Robinson? This one for me is really tough because Allen Robinson, when he's been good, has been sensational. But you're playing with if you pick Allen Robinson, you're playing a guy who has a quarterback who can't throw the ball from me to you as a starting quarterback. Mitch Trubisky sucks.
Man, you liked him at the beginning of the season.
I did, and I was so wrong.
Yeah, you were.
So wrong.
Players mess up, man.
All right.
I mean, man, he's bad, and he's no longer going to be the starter after this year, I guarantee it, in Chicago. He is that bad. Calvin Ridley has been not great this year, but he's been much more consistently getting 4 or 5 catches a game. And I think, this is kind of a hint for one of my against the spread picks next segment, I think the Falcons and Saints is going to be pretty high scoring today and closer than people think. So I'm going to go Calvin Ridley here, just a little safer than Allen Robinson.
Mitch Trubisky is not very good. And, you know, at this point, man, Matt Ryan hasn't been great either. But, you know, he's better than Mitch Trubisky. So for that reason, I'm going Calvin Ridley.
14-point spread.
Yeah.
A 14-point spread for Atlanta and New Orleans. That's insane.
That's crazy.
Like, that's no respect for that Atlanta offense. I mean, it's rating that Atlanta defense where it needs to be. But
we're going to get to it.
All right, sorry.
Rapid fire.
I think I'm just... I'm going to be the weird contrarian here and go, Darius Slay, I'll go Ridley. Ridley. All
right. Full PPR flex spot. AJ Brown and the Titans or Cole Beasley on the Bills. Beasley's caught 3 touchdowns in a row or 3 weeks in a row. But I'm taking AJ Brown on this one. Beasley's only had 2 or 3 catches per game. The touchdowns are good, but a little bit lucky, I think. AJ Brown's been getting many more targets with Ryan Tannehill starting there. So I'm going to go AJ Brown.
A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown. Corey Davis isn't playing today.
Should I start Todd Gurley or Michael Gallup at the flex? I'm going to say Todd Gurley. Pretty easy one for me on that one. Gallup has a lot of potential, but he hasn't fully lived up to it. Gurley, and the Vikings defense is good.
Gurley with a, unsure face.
I'm going to go Gurley on this. I think he's Gallup could outscore you, but I think he's the smarter play.
He's just going to get way more touches than Gallup's going to get. All right, we got a break. Coming up next, we got a couple more we'll get to and give you some NFL picks against the spread. This is Football Sunday on The Fan.
Weekend sports with a difference. This is Sports Sunday with Mike and Rashad on 1080 The Fan.
Let's continue with the fantasy scramble as well as getting into some NFL picks against the spread this segment. We want to get to your questions first, though, as we got a couple more we got to get to. Need 2 of the following in a PPR league. Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, Julio Jones, DK Metcalf, Jamison Crowder. Well, you're definitely starting Julio Jones. I think that's a pretty simple, easy one for me there, especially with Matt Ryan back. I'm sorry. I hate the Browns receivers right now. They are so, I mean, the Browns are so bad right now that starting with their receivers is really tough. I also think starting DK Metcalf is a really bad matchup against the Niners. Jamison Crowder's been really good for the Jets.
Absolutely.
And the Giants defense has not been very good. Crowder's catching a lot of balls out there. I honestly think I'm leaning towards Julio and Crowder, but I understand if you want to pick one of the Brown receivers because it's tough to sit a guy like Odell Beckham Jr. with the potential that he has.
I'm going – it's crazy. You can echo that. I'm going Julio and Crowder. Crowder's been great for the Jets this year. I got him on my fantasy team as somebody that was just going to be
– especially in a PPR league.
Yeah, he was supposed to be somebody that was just going to be there to back up Jarvis Landry and Antonio Brown. And what do you know? He's been one of the most consistent receivers in fantasy this year. So I'm going Jamison Crowder and Julio Jones.
Also, Buffalo has a good defense. So that's another thing against the Browns receivers.
Crowder. I think that when Crowder's been there and he's been healthy and Sam Darnold's been there and he's been healthy, he's been a really good piece for him, especially in PPR. So I think I'd throw him out there.
Quarterback Kirk Cousins against the Dallas Cowboys or Daniel Jones against the Jets. I'm looking at the ESPN rating or rankings from all their staff. They're basically exactly the same, 12.2 and 12.5 average. Kirk Cousins is playing really, really well lately. He's had 20 plus points in four of his last five games. Daniel Jones is a turnover machine, but still gives you fantasy points every once in a while by throwing some touchdown passes. I'm going with Kirk Cousins. I think he's a safer bet.
I'm going with Kirk Cousins. I think he has more toys to play with.
Kirk Cousins.
Latavius Murray or Derrick Henry? Ooh, that's an interesting question. So Derrick Henry is the clear-cut number one in Tennessee. He actually hasn't been as bad as I thought he would be this year. When I've watched him play, he's gotten a little bit more into open space with his runs. He's been a little bit more consistent. He's getting touchdowns. In this case, although I like Latavius Murray today, I'm going to go Derrick Henry because I think he's going to get way more consistent touches and could certainly get in the end zone for a touchdown.
Been about the only consistent part of that Tennessee team, so I'm going Derrick Henry.
This was, you know, a different story 4 weeks ago. You know, all you had to do to really beat the Chiefs was run the ball and, you know, and you could kind of slow that game down. The Chiefs have made adjustments. They're actually playing pretty well in the run game now on defense. So I do worry about that tamper expectations, but I still think I'm rolling out Derrick Henry.
This is actually a tough one, too. Jalen Samuels or David Montgomery at the running back spot. I think an important question here is this a PPR league or not? If it's a PPR league, Jalen Samuels is your man because he caught 13 passes when he started for James Conner last time he started. 13 passes. Just going to reiterate that. David Montgomery's got three touchdowns in the last 2 weeks, but his usage is so weird. And I think they're starting to use him more, which is good. I just don't trust it. But honestly, this is fully based on if it's a PPR or not. If it's PPR, go with Jalen Samuels. If it's a regular league, go with David Montgomery.
I'm just taking Jalen Samuels.
I will the same. If it's PPR, then Samuels, regular, standard, even probably half point, I'd probably go Montgomery.
Two more, Ronald Jones or Derrick Henry. Ronald Jones now be given, as Jesse said in a break to me, being given the number one duty fully over Peyton Barber in Tampa Bay. He's playing a pretty good Arizona defense, though. He has looked better this year, given more carries. I'm still going to take Derrick Henry in this one, though. I just feel like he's been more consistent.
I like Derrick Henry.
I actually think I'm going to go Ronald Jones in this one.
Who do I play as a flex in a PPR? Zach Pascal? David Johnson. Ooh, man. So David Johnson's playing a really, really good rush defense in Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay's rush defense is really good. They actually, their game plan is to funnel straight up the middle and take away the run and force you to pass, which is not working for them, but that's been their defensive game plan all year, and they've been really good at doing that. In these kind of instances, I always like to lean towards the player who's way better, and I think David Johnson's way better than Zach Pascal, but that matchup Pascal's got is so juicy with the Dolphins. I think I'm going to lean towards Pascal on this one, especially in a PPR.
You know, playing the Dolphins is like when we were – it's like playing the Generals, you know, the team that the Globetrotters play against. You know, at this point, you know you're going to have a career game more than likely. So I'm going with Jones in that one.
And the Dolphins have been playing better. If you haven't watched them the last 2-3 weeks, basically coming out of the bye, they have been better.
I haven't watched them. I know.
And I understand. But they've been better. They're like the opposite of Cincinnati right now. Like, they actually seem to be, despite the fact that they've been in full tank mode, the players are trying to win. Whereas Cincinnati, they're not. But with all of that said, I think I'm still probably going to roll out Pascal. I like David Johnson quite a bit, but he's got a really tough matchup. And whether I want to see how they divvy up the touches between him and Drake in the passing game.
So those are our fantasy questions. We do that every single week at 9:30. Thank you guys for texting them into the Better You Today text line at 55305. We'll do that every single week at 9:30. Before we go, I wanted to start adding this into the segment as well, just because it's legal in Oregon now to bet on sports, or it has been legal. But
I thought you were going to say something else.
We have it's also legal to smoke weed. We now have the Oregon Lottery Scoreboard app.
Hey-o!
And we can bet on the NFL. No college yet. And I have put down two bets today, and these are the ones that I like today. The first one is Falcons plus 14 against the Saints this week. And to me, this one, when I saw the line opened at like 12 or 13, and I was like, really? 12 or 13? Atlanta can still score. Their defense isn't very good, but they can still score. And I knew, I was like, oh, maybe Matt Schaub is starting, although Matt Schaub threw for almost 500 yards last week. But Matt Schaub is starting. Maybe I can see that. Then Matt Ryan is likely going to play with an ankle injury, which is a way better option than having Matt Schaub as your quarterback. To me, I think the Saints will win this game, but it's a divisional matchup. The Falcons have lost a lot this year, but a lot of the games have been high scoring, close affairs. I think Atlanta plus 14 is a decent value for a game like today. So I put some money on that one for sure.
For me, they're the one that kind of stuck out was Baltimore at Cincinnati. And I think it's Cincinnati or Baltimore minus 10.5.
I will look up what the Oregon Lottery one is for you right now. It is, 10.5. Baltimore minus 10.5.
Now,
it's a big spread.
It's a 10.5 points. Like, people don't really think about that. Like, there are very, very few blowouts every week in football. You know, so will you see a team get blown out by 21 points, 38 points? That very seldom happens. It does happen, but you can count on maybe two or three of those games per week being like that. But for the most part, most of these games are really within a few points of each other. So 10.5 points is a lot. But like Jesse was kind of saying earlier, like the Bengals just get a pass. And like, we never talk about how they don't even look like they're trying at a point. So, yeah, I think the Ravens can definitely 10.5. I'm surprised that's not 14, to be honest.
There are a couple I really liked. Let's go with maybe an underdog here. Like Bills plus 2.5 at Cleveland. Like, give me some Bills over Cleveland. Cleveland stinks. They just lost to the dang Denver Broncos. Come on. Like, I'm sorry, that what they got Kareem Hunt back and all of a sudden they're gonna beat the Bills? I don't think so. And then, honestly, I like the Jets against the Giants as well. I think that you're looking at a team right now, all of a sudden Giants are in love with the New York's in love with Daniel Jones and forgetting that he loves to throw turnovers. Like, he really does a lot of turnovers. I think it's Sam Darnold is a competent quarterback. This is a winnable game for them. And it is, although a road game, they're at home. So I like this. I like the Jets plus 3 against the Giants as well.
My final pick that I put a little bit of money on today was, and I'm sad because the line moved down since I actually picked the bet.
Uh-oh.
I got Packers minus 5.5 today against the Panthers. The reason I like that is because last week the Packers got absolutely 100% embarrassed. And you don't embarrass Aaron Rodgers and live to tell the tale the next week. I think they are going to put a whooping on Carolina this week purely as a statement game of, we were good. We were truly bad against the Chargers last week. I mean, they were absolutely dreadful. And I think they're going to come back and win by 10, 14 points in that game against Carolina. I know Carolina is actually pretty good with Kyle Allen at quarterback. And, of course, you got Christian McCaffrey. That's more of a gut feel than anything. And just some notes about the two of the games that you picked. I just keep an eye on, in gambling terms, the sharp is someone who puts really big money on games and is usually pretty good at gambling. Mm-hmm. They kind of have like a database of them. A lot of the sharps are on Cincinnati plus 10.5 because Cincinnati's, although they're winless, they've lost a lot of close games this year. And Baltimore coming off a huge win against New England might have a little bit of a step back after that high of beating New England last week. And also, a lot of the sharps seem to be on Cleveland for some reason. I don't understand that one at all. I'm with Jesse. I think the Bills are the better team by far. But for some reason, people think the Browns at home are going to have a bounce back game after their loss to Denver against the Bills. Remember, the Browns did house the Ravens in Baltimore earlier this year, so there's the potential for them to play well. They're just not doing it consistently. So just some notes from what I saw from the sharps and some of those picks as well. All right, we're going to do that every week just at the end of the Fantasy Scramble. So if you have any good picks, feel free to text them into the Better You Today text line at 55305 or what picks you've made so far this week.
Text us your locks of the week.
Yeah, text us your gold star instant money winner locks of the week. All right, coming up next, 10 o'clock hour, we will focus a lot on the Niners-Seahawks Monday night game as well as the Thursday night game that was between the Raiders and the Chargers. That's before Hate It or Love It here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.